It is Friday. It is time for Creation Club. Joining us by phone today, Pastor Warren Wirth at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold. It is Creation Club Friday. Good morning, Pastor Wirth. Happy Creation Club Friday.
Good morning, Annie, and happy Friday to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you. What do you have for us this week? I bet we probably have some announcements for Missouri Association for Creation Club and a good topic to discuss as
we
well.
We do. Let's bring that up. First of all, the Missouri Association for Creation has a speaker series that will take place at Zion Lutheran Church in Harvester, Missouri. That's out in St. Charles County to the west of St. Louis on, the Wednesday, the 20th of January from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. The speaker is Dr. Carl Werner, and he'll be speaking on the topic, Why I Abandoned Evolution. And he's a really good speaker. He's a medical doctor, lives in the St. Louis area here, and he did believe in evolution at one time, but when he was in medical school, one of his fellow medical students challenged him to see if he could try to prove that evolution were true. And so he spent the next 30 years of his life as a hobby, when he had time off from his work as a medical doctor, to travel the world with his wife, and they photographed all kinds of dive sites and dig sites. And he became convinced over the course of his study that the evidence really is against the theory of evolution and fits very nicely with a biblical view of creation. So Dr. Carl Werner is a speaker on Wednesday the 20th from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. on the topic, Why I Abandoned Evolution. And then a week later, on Wednesday, January 27th, same time, 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m., same place, Zion Lutheran Church in Harvester, Missouri, Dr. Carl Werner will again speak about human evolution, why the fossil record contradicts the concept of human evolution. So, good stuff, a good speaker. If you live in the greater St. Louis area, I highly recommend it. If you don't live in the greater St. Louis area, don't fear. Dr. Carl Werner's material is available through the store at answersingenesis.org, and you can look by title. His last name is spelled W-E-R-N-E-R, first name Carl, that's C-A-R-L, and last name W-E-R-N-E-R, Dr. Carl Werner, and he's written some books and has some DVDs that are outstanding on this very topic of evolution and versus creation, and it challenges, the student to kind of think this through and not just buy into the story of evolution just because that's what predominates in education and museums and the scientific community generally. And so, he can tell you from his own firsthand experience as a real scientist, a medical doctor, that he used to believe in evolution, but once he really studied the topic and, went all over the world digging in to find more, he realizes that the evidence is overwhelmingly against the theory of evolution. So those speakers are at Zion Lutheran Church, Harvester, Missouri, on the 20th and 27th of January, 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. each evening.
Very good. Helpful information. I always like hearing what's going on with the Missouri Association for Creation. Well, what topic do you have for us this week, Pastor?
Okay. Well, over the Christmas and New Year holiday there, I was checking some email and looking on the web and ran across something at the Huffington Post. And our listeners may know that the Huffington Post is not exactly the most conservative website out there. They have some rather liberal thinkers in their blogs and so forth. And I ran across this headline, God for Atheists, and in parentheses, an expanded scientific definition of God for everyone else. And I'm going to read much of this if we have time, and then hopefully we'll have time to rebut it. So you kind of help me keep track of the time here so I don't get carried away.
But sure.
This is written by Richard Green, that's G-R-E-E-N-E, and he's got a book on that very topic that he's going to promote by the end of his article. So he says, as many celebrate the Christmas season and the coming of a new year, maybe there's a way we can indeed bring atheists and theists and the disparate factions and religions together on our little planet. And instead of focusing on the old definitions of God, in quotation marks there, that many reject, or on how differently we see and honor God across the many religions, maybe there is an even even a way to use this once divisive term to bring us all together. I think it may be with this image right here, and there he has a photograph of the Helix Nebula. Some of you know that it's been called the Eye of God. Perhaps you've seen that Eye of God photograph somewhere out there on the web. And he puts the letter, capital letter G in front of it, lowercase d behind it, and this nebula right in the middle where the O would go. And so this is our new concept of God. As beautiful as it is, it's equally fascinating. It is a vast expanse of gases from an exploded star 700 light years away in the constellation Aquarius. And it's enormous. Its radius, the distance from the center to the outer boundary, is 2.87 light years, which is more than 16 trillion miles. More importantly, though, the Eye of God, like other nebulae, actually creates life. Yes, these massive aggregations of gases create life, as well as stars and planets and virtually everything else in the physical universe. These nebulae are the nurseries of galaxies and solar systems, and also contain the elements for plants and animals and humans to develop and thrive. In other words, the atoms and molecules in our bones and heart and skin and brain and everything around us are created inside of these astronomical phenomena. So in a way of speaking, nebulae continue the work of what many regard as the Almighty in creating and recreating the universe. One way of thinking about this is that God created the physical universe 13.8 billion years ago with a flash of light called the Big Bang. Since the stars that God created generally only live 10 million to 10 billion years, the entire universe as we know it would have gone dark and died out about 4 million years ago, except for this amazing universal recycling system. And what an extraordinary recycling system it is. As the biggest stars in the universe run out of their nuclear fuel, they actually explode, a sort of secondary or tertiary Big Bang, and spew their guts billions of miles into the cosmos. Over the next thousands and millions of years, the elements from the insides of these exploded stars come together and form new elements, and eventually form new stars, new planets, and so on. So, God lives, and he continues to create endlessly through nebulae. Here are some other spectacularly beautiful ones, and he has photographs of the Crab Nebula and Orion Nebula and the Ring Nebula and Twin Jet Nebula. Very beautiful pictures if you're interested in astronomy. They're very beautiful. Then he goes on to say, now that we are done with the science, how about utilizing these magnificent things that brought us together, literally and physically, to bring us together in other ways? What if we added this scientific understanding to how we depict the Creator, and that's in quotation marks? What if we evolved and updated our definition of God by bowing to science, which, if there is a God, he or she or it would have most certainly also created, and depicting God in a way that we know now is related to the actual proven physical creation of stars, planets, and our own bodies and the universe itself. Some of our ancestors had similar thoughts. They understood that God was too big of a concept to try to squeeze into one word, so they put a dash or an underscore between the G and the D and left the O out entirely. That partially or a completely empty space would communicate the unfathomability and ineffability, the infinite nature of God. And that is a beautiful and respectful way to honor God, and I considered doing so in my recent book, which he publishes, equals MC squared and the new definition of God. And so maybe in the time that remains, we should just examine what he's saying, because basically he goes on to say that all the religions could come together, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jews, Buddhist, Hindus, Baha'i, or whatever, all the religions could come together because they can understand this one concept, that it's true that we were created, but you know, the ideas were created by the cosmos, by these nebulae. So as he wraps it up, Albert Einstein supposedly said, we try to denote the Creator as we try, as Albert Einstein said in his extraordinary statement, My Credo, in 1932, to attempt humbly to grasp with our minds a mere image of the lofty structure of all that there is. So, in the time that remains, let's kind of talk about this concept, that God for atheists, and trying to bring everyone together with a new scientific definition of God by Richard Green. Well, actually, it's not all that new. Anybody who's familiar with Carl Sagan is familiar with the fact that atheists have been trying to tell us all along that we're made of stardust. In fact, sometimes they would say you're made of stardust. Sometimes they would say not that Jesus died for your sins, but that a star died for you to have life. And they like to yank on the chain of Christian students in universities and drive them crazy by saying, oh, yeah, your idea of God from the Bible is silly, but a loftier idea is that we're born from the stars. They tell this tale so convincingly, whether you're talking about Carl Sagan himself or his disciple, Degrassi Tyson, these guys are very enthusiastically promoting their religion. And let's make no mistake about it. It is religion. It's not science. And when they go on to say you can reimagine God this way and bring science and religion together, you can only bring science and religion together in this way if you sacrifice the religion of the Bible, if you jettison what God has already told us about himself in his word, the Bible, and all that we're told by our Lord Jesus Christ, and adopt the atheistic view of things, then you can bring religion and science together. But you can't bring true biblical Christianity into this whole concept. And it needs to be said that the emperor has no clothes. So when he makes these bold assertions about how old the universe is and how everything developed from these stars, the question to ask is, were you there? Did you observe it? Did you do it? Or were you there to see it happen? You know, these things are conjecture. They are not things that we really know, even though he uses the word knowledge and know again and again in his article here. The fact is, we don't know that the universe is 13.8 billion years ago. We don't know that this is a great recycling system, so stars just die and then they blow up and then their guts get recycled into new stars and new life forms and so forth. It's an imaginative tale that these guys have told, but it's not based on observable, repeatable scientific experiment. This is basically the religion of evolutionary cosmology. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we're dealing with here.
It all focuses on first article things. It all focuses on creation is really what it focuses on, and leaves out that, you know, so natural revelation, it leaves out any special revelation and who Christ is, right?
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up, because that's why we always want to talk about these things. As interested as we are in talking about the first article, and certainly that from a biblical standpoint, from the God who made us and who tells us what he did, you know, it really comes back to understanding that after the creation, we fell into sin and rebelled against our Creator, and that he didn't stop loving us, but did something about our condition by sending Jesus, Jesus who is the Creator, who came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, to suffer and die on the cross and rise again, that we might have eternal life, that creation might be restored. And this is based upon the certainty of God's Word, and is a testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ and his holy apostles. So don't be misled by this. You may be interested to read the book and to read this blog, but ultimately we want to read God's book, the Bible, and listen to his word about him who is the one who is our Creator, the one who is our Redeemer, and the one who has made us his own for all eternity.
Thank you, Pastor Wirth. Always great to have this time with you for Creation Club, to learn so much. And you're right, there are so many things out there that look like religion, but is it true? Is it truth? And that's what you always point us back to, the Word of God and truth, so that we see Jesus and God, our true Creator. Well, coming up in just a little bit, more His time, including morning prayer. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.